when it was cool.com.
Hey, you know any Weird Al Yankovic?
Oh, eat it, Jeff!
Your source for retro pop culture fun.
Imagine a party thrown by Motley Crue with a bunch of guys who road crew wearing J. Crew.
Hit that Patreon button for premium content.
Welcome to When It Was Cool Dark. I am your host, Carl Stern. Thank you very much for joining me. This show is produced and distributed by WhenItWasCool.com. This show can be heard at Figure4Online.com, WrestlingObserver.com, Dark Matter Digital Network, and any place you would expect to find a major podcast, such as iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. If you go to the search engine of your favorite podcasting app and type in the words When It Was Cool, you'll find our three free shows: When It Was Cool Retro Pop Culture, When It Was Cool Dark, and When It Was Cool Wrestling. I hope you will subscribe to all three of those shows. And if you like what you hear, go to WhenItWasCool.com and become a Patreon supporter, where you'll get instant access to over 2,000 premium shows in our archive. Yes, 2,000 podcasts right now are available if you become a Patreon supporter at WhenItWasCool.com. This is a series called 100 of the Darkest Moments in Pop Culture History. And we're up in the 80s now, so we're getting close to the end of this series. And we'll be making some changes to the show, as we often do when we finish these lengthy series out. We'll be changing direction. We're probably going back toward the more macabre, the more mysterious, the paranormal, perhaps, strangeness and mysteries. And that is apropos for today's show. In fact, I would like to think that the subject of today's show might find it amusing, even interesting, that he would be included among the 100 darkest moments in pop culture history. We're talking about the area of popular culture, literature, and our subject for today's show is Edgar Allan Poe. More specifically, his death. The death of Edgar Allan Poe is one of the 100 darkest moments in pop culture history. Edgar Allan Poe is still famous even to this day. He's been the subject of movies, TV shows, books about him, even himself. He's still, well, people read Edgar Allan Poe all the time in school around Halloween. He's still a very popular pop culture figure. Many people might not be aware his death, very strange, much like his writings. We go to SmithsonianMag.com. to a 2014 article by Natasha Gelling, The Still Mysterious Death of Edgar Allan Poe. Was the famous author killed from a beating, from carbon monoxide poisoning, from alcohol withdrawal? Here are the top theories. It was raining in Baltimore on October 3, 1849, but that didn't stop Joseph W. Walker, a compositor for the Baltimore Sun, from heading out to Gunner's Hall, a public house bustling with activity. It was election day, and Gunner's Hall served as a pop-up polling location for the 4th Ward polls. When Walker arrived at Gunner's Hall, he found a man, delirious and dressed in shabby second-hand clothes, lying in the gutter. The man was semi-conscious and unable to move, but as Walker approached him, he discovered something unexpected. The man was Edgar Allan Poe. Worried about the health of the addled poet, Walker stopped and asked Poe if he had any acquaintances in Baltimore who might be able to help him. Poe gave Walker the name of Joseph E. Snodgrass, a magazine editor with some medical training. Immediately, Walker wrote Snodgrass a letter asking for help. Baltimore City, October 3, 1849. Dear Sir, there is a gentleman, rather the worse for wear, at Ryan's 4th Ward polls, who goes under the name of Edgar A. Poe, and who appears in great distress, and he says he is acquainted with you. He is in need of immediate assistance. Yours in haste, Joseph W. Walker, to Dr. J. E. Snodgrass. On October 27th, almost a week earlier, Edgar Allan Poe had left Richmond, Virginia, bound for Philadelphia to edit a collection of poems for Marguerite St. Leon Loud, a minor figure in American poetry at the time. When Walker found Poe in delirious disarray outside of a polling place, it was the first anyone had heard or seen of the poet since his departure from Richmond. Poe never made it to Philadelphia to attend his editing business, nor did he make it back to New York, where he had been living, to escort his aunt to Richmond for his impending wedding. Poe was never to leave Baltimore, where he launched his career in the early 19th century. Again, and in 4 days between Walker finding Poe outside the public house and Poe's death on October 7th, he never regained enough consciousness to explain how he had come to be found, in soiled clothes, not his own, incoherent on the streets. Instead, Poe spent his final days wavering between fits of delirium, gripped by visual hallucinations. The night before his death, according to his attending physician, John J. Moran, Edgar Allan Poe repeatedly called out for, quote, Reynolds, a figure who to this day remains a mystery. Poe's death, shrouded in mystery, seems ripped directly from the pages of one of his own works. He had spent years crafting a careful image of a man inspired by adventure and fascinated with enigmas, a poet, a detective, an author, a world traveler who fought in the Greek War of Independence and was held prisoner in Russia. But though his death certificate listed the cause of death as parenteus, or swelling of the brain, the mysterious circumstances surrounding his death have led many to speculate about the true cause of Poe's demise. Maybe it's fitting that since he invented the detective story, says Chris Simner, curator of the Poe Museum in Richmond, he left us with a real-life mystery. Was it a beating? In 1867, one of the first theories to deviate from either parentis or alcohol was published by biographer E. Oakes Smith in her article, Autobiographic Notes, Edgar Allan Poe. At the instigation of a woman, Smith writes, who considered herself injured by him, he was cruelly beaten, blow upon blow, by a ruffian who knew of no better mode of avenging supposed injuries. It is well known that a brain fever followed. Other accounts also mention, quote, ruffians who had beaten Poe senseless before his death. Eugene Deedler wrote in his 1872 article, The Grave of Poe, that while in Baltimore, Poe ran into some friends from West Point, who prevailed upon him to join them for drinks. Poe, unable to handle his liquor, became madly drunk after a single glass of champagne, after which he left his friends to wander the streets in his drunken state. He was robbed and beaten by ruffians and left insensible in the street all night. Others believe that Poe fell victim to a practice known as cooping. That's a method of voter fraud practiced by gangs in the 19th century, where an unsuspecting victim would be kidnapped, disguised, and forced to vote for a specific candidate multiple times under multiple disguised identities. Voter fraud was extremely common in Baltimore around the mid-1800s, and the polling site where Walker found the disheveled Poe was a known place that coopers brought their victims. The fact that Poe was found delirious on election day then is no coincidence. Over the years, the cooping theory has come to be one of the more widely accepted explanations for Poe's strange demeanor before his death. Before Prohibition, voters were given alcohol after voting as a sort of reward. Had Poe been forced to vote multiple times in a cooping scheme, that might explain his semi-conscious, ragged state. Around the late 1870s, Poe's biographer J.H. Ingram received several letters that blamed Poe's death on a cooping scheme. A letter from William Hand Brown, a member of the faculty at Johns Hopkins University, explains that the general belief here is that Edgar Allan Poe was seized by one of these gangs. His death happening just at election time, an election for sheriff took place on October 4th, cooping, stupefied with liquor, dragged out and voted, and then turned adrift to die. A lot of these ideas that have been come up over the years have centered around the fact that, well, Poe couldn't handle his alcohol. It's been documented that after a glass of wine, he was staggering drunk. His sister had the same problem. It seems to be something hereditary. Months before his death, Poe became a vocal member of the temperance movement, eschewing alcohol, which he had struggled with his whole life. Biographer Susan Archer Tally Weiss recalls in The Last Days of Edgar A. Poe an event toward the end of Poe's time in Richmond that might be relevant to theorists who prefer a death by drinking demise for Poe. Poe had fallen ill in Richmond, and after making a somewhat miraculous recovery, was told by his attending physician that another such attack would prove perhaps fatal. According to Weiss, Poe replied that, quote, if people would not tempt him, he would not fall, suggesting that the first illness was brought on by a bout of drinking. Those around Edgar Allan Poe during his final days seem convinced that the author did indeed fall into that temptation, drinking himself to death. As his close friend J.P. Kennedy wrote on October 10, 1849, quote, on a Tuesday last, Edgar A. Poe died in town here at the hospital from the effects of a debauch. He fell in with some companion who seduced him to the bottle, which it was said he had renounced some time ago. The consequence was fever, delirium, and madness, and in a few days a termination of his sad career in the hospital. Poor Poe. A bright but unsteady light has been awfully quenched. Though the theory that Poe's drinking led to his death fails to explain his five-day disappearance or his second-hand clothes on October 3rd, it was nonetheless a popular theory propagated by Snodgrass after Poe's death. Snodgrass, a member of the temperance movement himself, gave lectures across the country blaming Poe's death on binge drinking. Modern science, however, has thrown a wrench into Snodgrass's talking points. Samples of Poe's hair from after his death show low levels of lead. This is supposed to be an indication that Poe remained faithful to his vow of sobriety up to his demise. What about carbon monoxide poisoning, another suggested possibility? In 1999, public health researcher Albert Donney argued that Poe's death was the result of carbon monoxide poisoning from coal gas that was used for indoor lighting during the 19th century. Donney took clippings of Poe's hair and tested them for certain heavy metals that would be able to reveal the presence of coal gas. The test was inconclusive, leading biographers and historians to largely discredit Donney's theory. But what about heavy metal poisonings? While Donnie's test didn't reveal levels of heavy metal consistent with carbon monoxide poisoning, the test did reveal elevated levels of mercury in Poe's system months before his death. According to Simner, Poe's mercury levels were most likely elevated as a result of a caloric epidemic which he had been exposed to in July of 1849 while in Philadelphia. Edgar Allan Poe's doctor prescribed him mercury chloride. Mercury poisoning could help explain some of Poe's hallucinations and delirium before his death. However, the levels of mercury found in Poe's hair, even at their highest, are still 30 times below the level consistent with mercury poisoning. So all this is very inconclusive, to say the least. It's almost as though the cooping scheme, while not necessarily backed up with evidence, seems the most likely of these scenarios so far. It does seem that something to do with alcohol is the presumed cause. But all these, again, are theories. There are not really any of these so far have been backed up by hard evidence of what has killed Edgar Allan Poe. Obviously, he was in some state of delirium. Obviously, he had suffered, you know, the beatings idea. Well, it seems like it would have shown more outward signs of physical trauma besides just what we would now recognize as a internal bleeding in the brain or something like that. Could possibly even a stroke or something like that have been caused by a beating or a fall. And again, any of these so far have really been inconclusive about what could have injured or caused this state of madness to come to one of the most famous literary figures of the time or since, Edgar Allan Poe, one of the most famous writers in history. When we come back after a mid-show break here, we'll discuss some more theories from Smithsonian Mag about what could have killed, what could have possibly caused the demise of the famed author Edgar Allan Poe. We'll be back right after this.
Excuse me, please. Let's don't talk negatively. Speaking of winners, surprise, surprise, WhenItWasCool.com is your home for retro pop culture articles and podcasts. To all our patron supporters, this is for you, Fannie Mae. Solid gold just like you and me. Family friendly and fun, WhenItWasCool.com.
And we're back to When It Was Cool Dark from WhenItWasCool.com. Exploring more theories about one of the 100 darkest moments in pop culture history, the death of the famed author Edgar Allan Poe. SmithsonianMag.com continues with their possible theories that have been discussed over the years. What about, this seems odd but possible, rabies? In 1996, the cardiologist R. Michael Benitez was participating in a clinical pathological conference where doctors are given patients along with a list of symptoms and instructed to diagnose and compare with other doctors as well as the written record. The symptoms of the anonymous patient E.P., quote, a writer from Richmond, were clear. E.P. had succumbed to rabies. According to E.P.'s supervising physician, J.J. Moran, E.P. had been admitted to a hospital due to lethargy and confusion. Once admitted, E.P.'s condition began a rapid downward spiral. Shortly, the patient was exhibiting delirium, visual hallucinations, wide variations in pulse rate, and rapid, shallow breathing. Within 4 days, the median length of survival after onset of serious rabies symptoms, E.P. was dead. E.P., Benitez soon found out, wasn't just any author from Richmond. It was Edgar Allan Poe, whose death the Maryland cardiologist had diagnosed as a clear case of rabies, a fairly common virus in the 19th century. Running counter to any prevailing theories at the time, Benitez's diagnosis ran in the September 1996 issue of the Maryland Medical Journal. As Benitez pointed out in his article, without DNA evidence, it's impossible to say with 100% certainty that Edgar Allan Poe succumbed to the rabies virus. There are a few kinks in the theory, including no evidence of hydrophobia. Those who are affected with rabies develop a fear of water, but Poe was reported to have been drinking water at the hospital unto his death, nor any evidence of an animal bite, though some with rabies don't remember being bitten by an animal. Still, at the time of the article's publication, Jeff Jerome, curator of the Poe House Museum in Baltimore, agreed with Benitez's diagnosis. Quote, this is the first time since Edgar Allan Poe died that a medical person looking at Poe's death without any preconceived notions, Jerome told the Chicago Tribune in October 1996, if he knew it was Edgar Allan Poe, he'd think, oh yeah, drugs, alcohol, and that would influence his decision, but Benitez had no agenda. So it's very interesting, an unbiased diagnosis, albeit, you know, over 100 years later, but nevertheless an unbiased diagnosis that fits the criteria. I find that very, very interesting. There are still other possibilities yet. Many of you may have thought of this. I certainly did think of it myself. What about a brain tumor? One of the most recent theories about Poe's death suggests that the author succumbed to a brain tumor, which influenced his behavior before his death. When Poe died, he was buried rather unceremoniously in an unmarked grave in a Baltimore graveyard. 26 years later, a statue honoring Poe was erected near the graveyard's entrance. Poe's coffin was dug up and his remains were exhumed in order to be moved to the new place of honor. But more than two decades of burial, decay had not been kind to Poe's coffin, nor the corpse within it. And the apparatus fell apart as workers tried to move it from one part of the graveyard to the other. Again, I think Edgar Allan Poe might be amused by the macabre nature of this. But the article continues. Little remained of Poe's body, but one worker did remark on a strange feature of Poe's skull, a mass rolling around inside. Newspapers of the day claimed that the clump was Poe's brain, shriveled yet intact after almost three decades in the ground. We know today that the mass could not be Poe's brain, which is one of the first parts of the body to decompose after death. But Matthew Pearl, an American author who wrote a novel about Poe's death, was nonetheless intrigued by this clump. He contacted a forensic pathologist who told him that while the clump couldn't be a brain, it could be a brain tumor, which can calcify after death into hard masses. According to Simpner, Pearl isn't the only person to believe Poe suffered from a brain tumor. A New York physician once told Poe that he had a lesion on his brain that caused his adverse reactions to alcohol. And that could also explain his delirium and some of the other things we've talked about. And so far, it's one of the few things that actually might have some physical evidence, if in fact that's what this mass was, although there seems much conjecture about it. It doesn't seem like they actually took this out and studied it so much as went on a story. And again, you've got to kind of think that perhaps Edgar Allan Poe would find it amusing that they're, you know, prodding and probing his decayed body from one of the most the authors most associated with the macabre and death and things like that. There's certainly something very interesting about that, right? Well, another of the theories is less interesting and less scary, I suppose, but it's something here in 2023. Look, we've had several years of dealing with, and many of you probably have had the flu and may can relate to his state of mind. But what about the flu? That's one of the theories. A far less sinister theory, says SmithsonianMag.com, suggests that Poe merely succumbed to the flu, which might have turned into deadly pneumonia on his deathbed. It's explained, in the days leading up to Poe's departure from Richmond, the author visited a physician complaining of illness. His last night in town, he was very sick, and his soon-to-be wife noted that he had a weak pulse, a fever, and she didn't think he should take the journey to Philadelphia. He visited a doctor, and the doctor also told him not to travel. He was too sick. According to newspaper reports from the time, it was raining in Baltimore when Poe was there, which Simpner thinks could explain why Poe was found in clothes not his own. The cold and the rain exasperated the flu he already had, and maybe that eventually led to pneumonia. The high fever might account for his hallucinations and confusion. So again, very interesting. I mean, I've had the flu. Many people, most people probably listening to that have had it, and you can definitely tell high fever can make you see strange things and think strange thoughts. Now, one theory we haven't talked about yet, which, you know, look, it's the age of true crime podcasts, true crime documentaries, true crime TVs, true crime everywhere you turn. Armchair detectives are trying to sleuth out a mystery, and the mundane explanations just will not do. People just can't simply die under the circumstances that are official. No, there has to be more to it in almost every situation. So this will make their ears perk up, I'm sure. What about murder? I mean, we're talking about Edgar Allan Poe here. Certainly he could write the script for this. The SmithsonianMag.com says in his 2000 book, Midnight Jury, The Mysterious Death of Edgar Allan Poe, and I certainly hope this author's name's correct. I almost want to look it up to be sure, but I don't want to be disappointed. The author's name is supposedly John Evangelist Walsh, and I hope that's true. John Evangelist Walsh presents yet another theory about Poe's death. that Poe was murdered by the brothers of his wealthy fiance, Sarah Elmira Shelton, which again is a great middle name for somebody marrying Edgar Allan Poe, Elmira. Sarah Elmira Shelton. Using evidence from newspapers, letters, and memoirs, Walsh argues that Poe actually made it to Philadelphia, where he was ambushed by Shelton's three brothers, who warned Poe against marrying their sister. Frightened by the experience, Poe disguised himself in new clothes, accounting for, in Walsh's mind, his second-hand clothing, and he hid in Philadelphia for nearly a week before heading back to Richmond to marry Shelton. Shelton's brothers intercepted Poe in Baltimore. They beat him, forced him to drink whiskey, which they knew would send Poe into a deathly sickness. Walsh's theory has gained little traction among Poe historians or book reviewers. Edwin J. Barton, in a review for the Journal of American Literature, called Walsh's story, quote, only plausible, not wholly persuasive. Midnight Dreary is interesting and entertaining, he concluded, but its value to literary scholars is limited and oblique. For Simpner, however, none of the theories fully explain Poe's curious end. I've never been completely convinced of any one theory, and I believe Poe's cause of death resulted from a combination of factors. His attending physician is our best source of evidence. If he recorded on the mortality schedule that Poe died of peritonitis, Poe was most likely suffering from that or something related, which might explain his symptoms, so even something like meningitis, which is related to that as well. So some very interesting theories there. Again, not any of them really supported by any hard evidence. All just seeming conjectures and all possible. I mean, you could literally do this for any other human being. You could sit around and postulate all the possible explanations for their death that, you know, could be possible. But not a lot of good evidence. The cooping scheme seems very plausible. The brain tumor seems very plausible. Even rabies certainly seems very plausible. I mean, it's literally pick your favorite theory, and there's about as much evidence as one could possibly have for his condition. So let's spend a moment to talk about what happens next. Edgar Allan Poe's funeral. Edgar Allan Poe's funeral was a simple one. It was held at 4 p.m. on Monday, October 8th, 1849, in Baltimore. Few people attended the ceremony. Poe's uncle, Henry Herring, provided a simple coffin, and a cousin, Nielsen Pope, supplied the hearse. Moran's wife made his shroud. The funeral was presided over by Reverend W.T.D. Clem, a cousin of Poe's wife, Virginia. Also in attendance were Snodgrass, the doctor who was asked to attend to him, Baltimore lawyer and former University of Virginia classmate, Zacchaeus Collins Lee, Poe's first cousin, Elizabeth Herring, and her husband, and former schoolmaster, Joseph Clark. The entire ceremony lasted only 3 minutes in the cold, damp weather. Reverend Clem decided not to bother with a sermon because the crowd was too small. Sexton George W. Spence wrote of the weather, quote, it was a dark and gloomy day, not raining, just kind of raw and threatening. Apropos for Edgar Allan Poe, I would think. Poe was buried at Westminster Presbyterian Churchyard in Baltimore in a cheap coffin that lacked handles, a nameplate, cloth lining, or a cushion for his head. On October the 10th, 2009, Poe received a second funeral in Baltimore. Actors portraying Poe's contemporaries and other long-dead writers and artists each paid their respect and read eulogies adapted from their writings about Poe. The funeral included a replica of Poe's casket and a wax cadaver. Very anticlimactic funeral for Edgar Allan Poe. Of course, as we know, he's going to be dug up and reburied again with a statue, nevertheless. But there's one final addendum to Poe's death, his rather unmentionable funeral. You know, somebody as pop culturally famous as Edgar Allan Poe, there's got to be more to the story, right? Well, what about the after-death character assassination of Edgar Allan Poe? Yes, this is a thing, and this is a story. On October 9th, the day of Poe's burial, an obituary appeared in the New York Tribune, signed only by, quote, Ludwig. The obituary alternated between praising the dead author's abilities and eloquence and damning his temperance and ambition. The mysterious Ludwig said that literary art lost one of its most brilliant but erratic stars, but also claimed Poe was known for walking the streets in delirium, muttering to himself, and that he was excessively arrogant, assumed all men were villains, and quick to anger. This mysterious Ludwig was later revealed to be Rufus Wilmot Griswold, a former colleague and acquaintance of Poe. Mind you, he was calling Poe a coward while not having the guts to sign his own name to this obituary. Even when Poe was still alive, Griswold had engaged in character assassination. Much of his characterization in the obituary was lifted almost verbatim from that of the fictitious Francis Vivian in The Caxton by Edward Leighton. The obituary quickly became the standard characterization of Poe. Griswold also claimed that Poe had asked him to be his literary executor. He had served as his agent for several American authors, but it's unclear whether Poe appointed him to be the executor or whether Griswold became the executor through a trick or a mistake by Poe's aunt and mother-in-law, Maria. In 1850, he presented, in collaboration with James Russell Lowell and Nathaniel Parker Willis, a collection of Poe's work that included a biographical article titled Memoir of the Author, in which Poe was depicted as a depraved, drunk, drug-addled madman. Many parts were believed to have been fabricated by Griswold, and it was denounced by those who had known Poe, including Sarah Helen Whitman, Charles Frederick Briggs, and George Rex Graham. The account became popularly accepted, however, in part because it was the only full biography available and it was widely reprinted. It also remained popular because many readers assumed that Poe was similar to his fictional characters or was thrilled at the thought of reading the works of a, quote, evil man. A more accurate biography of Poe did not appear until John Henry Ingram's of 1875. Even so, historians continued to use Griswold's depiction as a model for their own biographies of Poe, including W.H. Davenport in 1880, Thomas R. Slicer in 1909, and Augustus Hopkins Strong in 1916. Many used Poe as a cautionary tale against drugs and alcohol. In 1941, author Hobson Quinn presented evidence that Griswold had forged and rewritten a number of Poe's letters that were included in his Memoirs of the Author. By then, Griswold's depiction of Poe was entrenched in the mind of the public, both in America and around the world, and this distorted image of the author has become part of the Poe legend despite attempts to dispel it. And let that be a cautionary tale about believing everything you read in the news, in books, and on podcasts. The death of Edgar Allan Poe is one of the 100 darkest moments in pop culture history. Go check out the works of Poe. I love Poe as an author. Very imaginative, very impressive in his word choice, like his cadence and everything. I just think Poe's one of the all-time greats. If you enjoyed this show, if you like these topics, hope you will check us out over at whenitwascool.com and become a Patreon supporter. It's very important for us to have Patreon support. That is where the bulk of our funding comes from. That keeps our website up and active, keeps our podcast network going, and I hope you will support it. If you become a supporter, and you could start as low as $1. If you come in at the $5 level, you're going to get access to over, in excess of, more than, there's you some words, 2,000 podcasts dealing with retro pop culture, history, the entire back catalog of When It Was Cool Dark, previously known as Dragon King Dark, and much, much more. Won't you come check us out? It's free to just look around. Check us out and see what we have to offer and become a Patreon supporter. And I'll see you here again soon with a new show.
When It Was Cool is your home for retro pop culture fun. We feature hundreds of podcasts on classic TV shows, movies, retro sports, toys, history, music, wrestling, and more. Tons of free podcasts. And hit any Patreon button for a deeper dive into our premium shows. WhenItWasCool.com. Fun and friendly.